Father, Lord, we thank you for such lovely weather, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone being able to come out here, Lord, with their free will. And their free will to live, Lord, that you have graciously given us, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' great and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
So, as I was reading it, I didn't really think of a title. It just kind of hit me. And I called it Operation Grace. Or Mission Possible. Kind of like the movie Mission Impossible. But in our case, it is possible through Christ. And so just an overview, and why I called it that is because really it's just Paul explaining to us, actually in the last three chapters, that it is only by God and it's only by grace that we are saved, as it talks about in Ephesians 2. And just the idea of grace, I like to think of it, grace is just really love, it's really forgiveness, it's really God's refinement for us, and it's really Jesus adding to our lives what we can't place there ourselves, and what we can't make up for, what we can't accumulate on our own. Grace is an action, and grace makes us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead, as it talks about in Ephesians 2 as well. And as I was reading through chapter 3, I just kept thinking back to, you know, 1 and 2. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father. That's Ephesians 1, 2. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's what Bud, I believe, right, was talking about. You did too?
Yeah.
And so just, you know, it's just grace, grace, and more grace all the way through all three chapters. So, chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Like I was talking about in the last book we did, you know, he started off, you know, under house arrest, a prisoner, and even now, you know, he's still a prisoner. And in the flesh, but a servant of Christ spiritually. And it says, for you Gentiles. So we know who the book is writing towards. And the Gentiles, anyone that wasn't a Jew. And now also for us. And verse 2. If indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Surely you, in a different version, it talks about the administration, not the dispensation. I think I'm pronouncing
dispensation?
That. Yes, that word. But in another version, it uses the word administration. And so when you think about administration, it's the action of, you know, starting something and moving forward with something. One of the words that they used to define it was direction. And I like that. And, you know, thinking of a company, when you're working, you know, when you are a part of a company, you're not doing it for yourself. You're forwarding the company. You're trying to project that, you know, push that company. You know, most companies will have, you know, quarter meetings or whatever, annual meetings, and they'll talk about goals that they want to set to expand or to go forward. And so when I was thinking of it, you know, I also thought of it as an operation, you know, coming from a military background, looking at it like that. You know, our objective is the other side of the hedgerow, so we need to be able to plan and direct it to go there successfully, and we're not doing it for me. It's a very selfless service to do something like that, especially in today's day and age. You know, it is not just for us, it's for something bigger than us. It's for the country, for USA. And in a spiritual sense, we are doing it for God, which is, as we all know, much bigger. So verse 3. How that by revelation he made made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written about already. So that was talking about, I believe, more grace. You know, there wasn't any grace before Christ came. It was all by sacrifice, and he had to do it all by the law. And so now that Christ has came, so has grace. So now this grace is opening up a different doorway and shutting another, shutting the old way of life that you had to go by, and now it's opening up a free doorway. And so I just wrote down for 2 and 3 was believe, receive, and produce. And I was trying to find a word that kind of went with believe and receive, because those two kind of ended the same. I was looking for a third one. It's kind of hard. So I found produce, and I like that one a lot. It's because you believe it, and then you receive it, and you can't just hold on to it. As it talks about in the Bible, about the parable of the men who were given so much money, and the one guy went and buried it. You know, you can't just hide it and bury it. You gotta, invest into it and spread it out. And so that's why I like the produce, is because we're given the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit to be fruitful and to multiply, you know, children of God. So the mystery is a new birth in Christ for Gentiles. You know, before the Gentiles weren't able to be in that inheritance, and now they are. And at that time, it was a mystery. You know, even now, if someone was speaking this to me as plain as day before I got saved, it would be, you know, a total mystery to me, you know, thinking of birth in Christ. You know, I'd be thinking just like the guy was in John 3:3, you know, how can I crawl back up into my mother, you know? Can't really be birthed again. The mystery of grace, they didn't know what grace was. I never heard of it before, and people haven't still to this day. I really like how a lot of Sundays have been lining up with Sunday mornings. And, you know, one thing I got from this morning was when Paul was talking about, you know, it's not about the ministry, it's about love, you know, going out and showing Christ's love. It's not about, you know, your purpose isn't a ministry, it's demonstrating Christ's love. Well, that's what I got from it. So, 3, 4, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So when you read and you believe and you receive Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, and He'll open up your eyes to new understandings and the knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And like I was sharing with Bud before, you know, when I first got saved, it was, you know, applesauce and, you know, scratching the lottery ticket. It was, you know, just scratching the surface and just beginning. And as you go deeper and deeper, you start to understand the parables more, and you get to go deeper into it. And so that's exactly what it was for them. They didn't understand it, you know, and now they're scratching that surface and understanding it. 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. So there it is again. It's been revealed by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. He's now opening up the eyes. Just thinking about in Jonathan, I don't know why I keep saying Jonathan, but John, when he's talking about, you know, I'll go up to my Father, but I will come back down to earth. They weren't understanding that, but, you know, for us, it's like, well, that's as plain as daylight, you know, we can understand that. But that's what it was for them, and that's why we needed the Spirit so badly, is because we wouldn't have been able to understand that. That wouldn't have never been revealed to us. Verse 6. That the Gentiles, so back up, the Spirit has been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow hearers of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So he chose specific people, and Paul was one of them who wrote the book to reveal these mysteries and reveal the mystery of the gospel. And the Gentiles is anyone that is outside of the Jews, outside of the chosen people. And now through the gospel, we have this ability to become fellow hearers of this same body, the body of Christ, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. That's why I call it Operation Gospel, because it's a very evangelistic chapter, and it's really pinpointing Christ coming from heaven, sacrificing himself on earth just to open that whole doorway to us. If you think about military operations or strategies, they break it off into sections. You know, it's not just the whole entire army in one big block formation moving in one. You know, it's a part over here to open up a roadway. You know, we have people that specialize in demolitions that can blow the road open. You know, and that's literally what Jesus did. I remember seeing a picture somewhere of the cross that came and stuck right into the road that was leading to hell, and it was making a new way to heaven. You know, that's pretty much what Christ really did. You know, he came down and exploded that road and was giving people a way to a new life, to an everlasting life. And with that, you know, he did that through grace. The gospel is the only acceptable doctrine, and it's, in my opinion, the story of grace. Like grace and faith and love, it's harder to pinpoint certain ways to explain that. You know, everyone's like, oh, what is love? We go to, what is it, 2 Corinthians 13, you know, and oh, love is fearless, and, you know, love is patient, and, you know, love is just simply God, you know, God, his affection towards us, and we won't ever know true love unless we truly know Christ. And times like this, like when I was reading it and going through it and studying it and kind of just jotting things down as it came to me, it was like, man, I don't even want to speak tonight, because it's like such a, for me personally, reading it, it was such a emotional thing for me. Not like, I don't want to say emotional, because it wasn't through my feelings, you know, it was just, you know, the Holy Spirit opening up the whole plan of the gospel, you know, a whole plan of salvation. You know, it was such a, you know, such a dramatic situation as I, you know, because when you get saved, you don't really think of that situation. You know, we talk about it or we tell non-Christians about it, but we don't really sit there and really think about the whole entire gospel, the actual story of grace. We don't look into, you know, Revelations 2:4 says that, you know, we strayed away from our first love. And when I think of that, you know, when I first got saved, I was, you know, completely in the Bible. And I mean, I was so into it that when I was reading through, when they were saying crucify, crucify, I just stopped reading and I was just tearing up and going crazy. And when he was in the synagogues and he was flipping those chairs, like I talked about before, that movie reel was just going, and it was like, oh my gosh, man, it was like the most action-packed movie, and then I go and read it again, because I've read through the Gospels a few times, and I was like, and Jesus looked over the tables and chairs, and he was upset and cracking whips, okay, next chapter, you know, and it wasn't really, you know, pinpointed for me. I wasn't as spiritually focused on that. And that is one thing that this chapter has done for me. It's brought me back to that story of grace, because, you know, we post things on Facebook, oh, you know, God loves you and all this stuff, but we don't really sit there and meditate on, you know, what it really looked like for Christ to love us. You know, it was just grace and more grace abounding. You know, the fact that he opened up, I mean, he didn't have to. We are sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of the Ten Commandments. You know, you commit one, it's like you committed them all. But he says, I won't let that happen. I'm going to make a way for you to come back to me. Although we've pulled ourselves away from God, you know, even after saying, God, I don't want you, after saying, God, I don't need you, after walking completely away from him and not raising our kids in the way of the Lord, not to, you know, not bringing our friends or brothers and sisters to Christ to lead them astray. I remember seeing people that I first introduced to alcohol and drugs and party life, and seeing them in that still, and now seeing me saved, you know, it's like, man, you know, how could God still love me? I pulled people away from him. I distorted their image of life itself, because they weren't doing those things when out before I hung out with them. You know, now they're into this. You know, now people are, you know, walking around with guns and, you know, robbing gas stations and stealing stuff, and they're just walking further away from God. But here's the story of grace that I wake up to every day, new mercies and new grace from God. They just, that is love. I mean, to wake up and knowing that someone is going to betray you every day, someone's going to steal from you, someone is going to take something that you've given them that is more precious than anything and rip it up in your face or light it on fire in front of you, and to still say, you know, here you go. And not to just give them something physically, it's a very poor example, but, you know, you give them a car and they run it into a telephone pole, and then they turn around and you're like, here's another one. And, okay, well, he's going to go run into that second one, so let me get the other key ready, you know. And that's what grace is God still providing for us, even though we take the precious things that he gives us in life and just destroys it in his promise in Christ through the gospel, you know, through that him dying on the cross, through that the bloodshed. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remorse for the sin. You know, he specifically shed his own blood to remove our sins and our iniquities and our trespasses in and out of us, to make us completely pure and clean. And then we wake up and we walk back to that same mud hole and get ourselves dirty and impure again. And then we turn around and we repent, and there's more grace and more love to clean us and to bring us back to that cleanliness and pureness with Christ. I think it's 1 Peter that says, you know, be holy as I am holy. You know, he calls us to that, even though we can't actually live up to that standard that Christ was at. He calls us to that to get us and to keep us staying on that track of being holy and being completely devoted to Christ. Because you can't be holy, you know, sitting on the fence. You can't be holy, you know, Sunday morning praying and Monday morning cussing. You know, you can't be holy in that sense. So he wants you completely on, you know, that cross that comes and intersects in the middle of the road. He wants you on that cross completely. You can't dangle from heaven and still be in worldly things. You know, you're either on one side or the other. I was in the mall the other day and thinking of the escalators. I mean, at first you have to work to get to the second floor. You have to work to get up there. But with his grace, you just got to step on and believe that he is real, that the second floor is really going to be there when you get up there. So there's no workmanship for it. There's no laboring to get to heaven. There's no need to do that. You just got to sit there, be still, and know that he is God. Verse 7. of which I became. I'm going to reread verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow hearers of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, that's salvation, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. It's a working of his power, not us. And it just like Paul was talking, it's not, our purpose is not ministry. Our purpose is the grace and the love that is, that God has given to us to bring to other people. It's not the ministry. The ministry is the tool that we use to reach the lost and the hurt and the sick and the lame. That is just a tool. That's just a resource that we have to do really our will, our purpose to come here, or our purpose on earth, our purpose for why we got saved, to get back to where we were in the beginning, just more explanation to it not being us. I think that's just one thing that humans struggle with in the first place, is letting go of that control. People talk to me about Teslas, and I always tell them, no, I don't want a Tesla, because I want to be the guy with my hands on the wheel. I want to be the guy pushing the gas and pushing the brake. You know, and that's just our control in life. We don't want to give that up. We don't want to just sit back and let the automobile take us where we want to go. We want to be in control of it all. We want to be in control of how fast we go or what direction we go. And sometimes we choose to go left or to go right, or we choose to stay on the straight and narrow. But with that grace, there's always an on-ramp to get back onto the right direction. By grace, by His love, that we have that on-ramp. Because without grace, if you fall off the wagon, you ain't getting back on. There is no more ways to get back to where we were. Ephesians 1:4, He chose us by adoption. He predestined for us to have that option, to choose grace, to be adopted into His body, into the body of Christ. Verse 1:6, it's His grace. Verse 7 goes on to talk about that. Chapter 1, verse 9 talks about the same thing that Ephesians 3:4 did, the mystery, the understanding with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, to me who am less than the least. We've all heard Paul talk about this before, you know, the less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I should preach. There's that purpose again. It's not the ministry. It's the grace and love that we should preach among the Gentiles to the unsearchable riches of Christ. I want to talk one moment about verse 8. First thing that I read... Well, the first thing that we all read when we read verse 8 is, to me who am less than the least. And that right there put me right in my seat. Because I've heard that phrase before. I understand what it is. He was a priest at one point before being saved. He was royalty. He was a high class. But when he became a new creation in Christ, one thing that he did was completely humble himself to the least of the least. That's how he, you know, and I believe that he didn't do that in a prideful situation. No, I'm more humble than you. No, I'm more humble than you. You know? Oh, I hold the door for everybody. You know? He wasn't doing that in a prideful situation. He was I believe, in an earnest statement saying that I am the least of these because what I've done, or because that's where God wanted him to be, to do what God wanted him to do. He had to become humble for God to use him as much as he did to write, what, two-thirds of the whole New Testament, to be able to preach like he did. And even to be in the situation that he's in, I've already given some states about him being shipwrecked and stoned and left for dead. Even for him to have all of that happen and to still write three or more chapters completely on grace, completely on the salvation of Christ, that it is not of our own works, so that we cannot boast, completely relying on Christ and his love and his grace and his mercy for us. I wrote down, with grace comes humility. You can't have grace without having humility, because we all need to humble ourselves before God to be able to receive that. We can't be prideful and be like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Because if I believe that, you know, I mean, God can do any miracle out there, but if you're not ready to humble yourself before God, I personally believe that, you know, until you do, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to be able to enter you, because God's not going to force his hand on you. He's wanting you to want it. He's going to want you to humble yourself to receive it. Back to Philippians 2. Oh, yeah, well, I ain't got a flip there. I forgot what the verse says. I thought I could remember it, but I completely forgot it. Philippians 2:8, in being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, that doesn't have the exact same context that we're in, but that was to the extent of the humility that Christ has. All the examples that we have in the Bible, they're such... not dramatic, extreme, you know, they're to the extremes of extreme, you know, Christ being humble even to death. I mean, you don't really see people doing that in our country. You don't see people being that humble to the Holy Spirit, that humble to God. And with that grace that he gives us comes humility. And that is why Paul called himself less than the least of the saints, of all the saints. And with all of that grace, I think that he honestly got the whole understanding of grace. I think that they had such a more of an eye opener than we have in our country to what grace is, to what love is, to what humility is, and, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, the gentleness, the kindness, all of it, that they had it so far more than we did. And that's one thing that really gets me. It's not like a jealousy or envious. It motivates me. In the military, that's another thing. In the military, we use very different ways to motivate you, you know. So what you see, if you go watch people in boot camp be motivated, it's going to be like, why are they getting motivated for that? I mean, why is that motivating you? And to me, this is very motivating, and you're thinking, we have less than they did, and that's motivating you? Yes, that is, because that shows me that we can get to that point, that we can go farther with Christ and in Christ than we are right now as a country, as a church, as a single individual, all the way up to the whole body of Christ, that we can be that devoted that we can honestly say, I am less than the least of all the saints, and not in a prideful or arrogant way, in an honest and true humility, and to honestly and really, really know and understand the grace to death. You know, everyone's like, oh man, I want to know what grace is, or humility is. How about to the death? Do you want to understand it to death? I'm starting to think I want to too. I mean, at first, I don't want to. But now to see how close that these men of God were to God, and to what faith and strength that they've had spiritually to do what they did in this time. I mean, you know, we're scared to walk into the store and talk about God, or to talk about God in church. Back then, they would go to church and talk about God and get stoned, get tossed out of the city limits and left for dead. I mean, if we walked into a building full of people with nothing but bombs or, you know, baseball bats with, you know, barbed wire on it, and they said, you talk about God, we're gonna hit you, and God put something on your heart, are you gonna share it? Mm-hmm. Are you gonna risk that humility to death? Are you gonna risk our flesh to death just to share it like they did? I mean, they probably wasn't in that same exact circumstance, but you know, they knew that if they spoke of God, that that's exactly what was going to happen. Verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ. That just shows more unity, you know, more of Christ, because, you know, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, they're all very intertwined. Christ was in God. Christ was there before the formation of the world, with God, in God. And now this mystery has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And He is now choosing to open up our spiritual eyes and our physical eyes to this through Jesus Christ. When the veil was torn in half, torn in two, we were now open to that. It was no more a mystery, no more a workmanship situation. Now we were able to freely enter. Now we were able to, you know, scales were removed from our eyes, and now we were able to see the grace of God. Because, you know, if you talk to a non-Christian and you ask them what they think about the Old Testament, oh, God was just zapping people then. God was a cruel ruler back then, you know, and they're blind to the grace that God didn't actually kill everybody, because if He did, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. But God was giving grace and love to them even when they had to go by the law, before Christ came, before there was the story of grace. Now there was a totally different story of grace. Now it's, you know, I'm going to choose you to do this. But no, Christ has already come to do this, so now it's a free gift, a free gift of God, the gift of grace. You know, back then they were slaughtering animals and, you know, physically cleaning themselves. You know, if they went into the temple and they weren't cleaned completely, they would fall over dead. They'd have to drag them out with that little rope tied to their ankle. Mm-hmm. You know, now we have that grace, where He says, come as you are. Now we can walk in there as filthy as you can. This is why I like it, because it's such an evangelistic message. It's come as you are. God doesn't, you know, I talk to 100 people that say, oh, well, I got to get clean before I go to God. No, you come to God to get clean. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's that grace where we go to Him, and we just stand there or sit there like we're in a car wash, and He just rinses us clean. There is no more, you know, slaughtering the lamb. There is no more, here, you want to scrub my back? I'll scrub my back, you know, deal, you know. There is none of that. It's just free grace, and, you know, that's what I don't like about speaking. And sometimes, man, I'll just think about grace and love, and I'll instead of speaking it out loud, I'll think these words in my head, and it's like, what else do I have to say, man? Grace, God's grace, God's love, man. Let that, I don't want to speak to you. I want God to speak to you. That's just how I feel, and it's like, that's what I want. I don't want to say words to you. I don't want to say God's grace to you. I want you to see God's grace. I don't want you to hear it. I would much rather have God show you grace than me sit here and be like, hey, Simeon, you ever heard of grace? Spell. Hold on, there's a G in the beginning, like a big G, an R, an A. I want God to, open up your eyes and show you, hey, walk with me, Simeon. I'm going to show you what grace is. I sent my son here. He died on the cross for you. This is grace. This is love. And this is why I don't want to do this, because it's like, I can't show you the grace and the love that God did. And as I was thinking about it, as I was setting up these chairs, I was kind of angling them where, they'd be pushed out of the way so people could walk into the little circle. And it's like, I angled this here because I was going to sit like this because I didn't want to have the sunlight in my eyes or, stuff like that. And it's like, everything's starting to funnel down to me. And it's like, I don't want that. I want it to funnel to God and God's grace. And, that is the only thing that, that we could actually receive and be completely filled by. I mean, I could talk to you all day. Y'all probably fall asleep on me. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Honestly, because then I could fall asleep too. Personally. But, I would rather have God open up your spiritual eyes and show you this. Show you that story of grace, instead of me having to sit here and explain it. I'm not being lazy. I'm being efficient. That's my new slogan for 2018. I ain't going to be lazy. I'm efficient.
You're going to be fishing?
Yes. Fishing. Efficient.
Sorry.
But.
After he muds. After he
muds. But I would rather have you guys walk away seeing that grace in God and being able to believe it, receive it, and then produce it out and show other people, and then have you sit here and listen to me just spiel on to, me messing up my notes or forgetting what verse I'm on. I think I'm on verse 9. I'll reread that one. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery of, or mystery of, see, I can't even read. Which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And he was waiting, he wanted that to be hidden for this very moment. Everyone's like, oh, you got to go through the hard times to enjoy the good times or to appreciate it. And I think that's where God was looking at. It's like, it's going to be so bad without this free salvation that when it comes, it's going to be so much more rewarding, and they're going to really appreciate it, which 90% of the world hasn't really yet. But me being saved, using me as an example, I am so appreciative of this free gift that I don't have to work for it. It was unwrapped. I didn't even have to unwrap it. God unwrapped it for me. That is a free gift. Everyone likes to unwrap it themselves, but God says, no, you just sit there. I'm going to show you what it is. And that's why I say that I don't want to do this, is because I didn't have someone telling me what grace is. God sat me down and showed me grace. And I feel like I'm cheating y'all out of something, because I wouldn't want to go back and have someone tell me about grace. I love the way that it was that God showed me grace. That I was sitting in church wishing I was smoking dope and drinking alcohol and, you know, stealing stuff from the gas station. And then God says, if you want bold prayer, or if you want major changes in your life, you're going to have to pray bold prayers. And right there, those calluses were removed from my eyes. And I understood that, you know, praying and asking for that salvation and asking for that grace, which I didn't even know what those words were, you know. I mean, I was told I was loved, but there was no affection. There was no showing of love. And I begin this relationship of Christ, and He demonstrates love. He shows love. He did. It says, okay, for God so loved the world. But it never says in here, word for word, that I love you or I love you this much. But it is a demonstration, you know. Like I shared before, I don't really like those, you know, weird sayings like the mess before, or a mess turns into a message, all that stuff. But yeah. I've seen this one that showed a picture of Jesus on the cross, and it says, I love you this much. I think that's as cheesy as it gets. And I don't really like to say it because it just feels weird for me to say it. But that's just honestly what it is, that He loved us so much that He would give us that amount of grace, and that he would humble Himself to be hung on that cross. That He honestly loves us that much to be stretched out on a cross and to humble Himself even to death.
Yeah.
Verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold, I'm glad this version used that word too, wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So, I like the word manifold. Because as being in the military, you know, I work on vehicles. And the main functioning part of the vehicle is the engine. So the engine has everything inside of it that it needs to run. But the manifolds, which come out of the sides of the block, actually dissipate all of the unwanted, or I shouldn't put it like that. It takes what the engine produces, one of those three words that I used in the beginning. It receives the fuel and oxygen mixture, and it dissipates it through the manifolds. And what it produces, it sends out to the rest of the vehicle, all the energy that it produces to the rest of the vehicle to help it run completely. And God would be that engine block, and we are the manifolds to the world, giving out what God produces. It's not the best analogy, but you know what God produces in us is what we need to give out to the world, and we need to show that grace and that love, because it makes me sick knowing that I didn't show that grace and that love to someone like God did to me. You know, it makes me sick thinking that I have unforgiveness in my heart, and I've done much more worse to God than anyone could ever do to me at all, ever. And in a situation where I was, you know, abused and traumatized in my younger years, and before I saved, or before I forgave them, you know, that's what I used in my arguments. Well, you were never this, you were never that. I mean, even to this day, it still makes me, you know, gargle in the back of my throat to think about those actions. You know, it's still hard for me to share those things. It's hard for me to be in certain situations because of what happened. But rest assured, I still go to bed at night thanking God for that forgiveness, that I'm not living with that burden. But it still sickens me when I catch myself in unforgiveness that I have towards someone who cut me off at the intersection or was doing 50 in a 55, which gets to me for some reason. But, you know, even, I mean, I've done far worse than cutting God off in the intersection. You know, the the grace upon grace and the blessings that he's poured out in my life, I just walked over it like it was trash, like it was dirt, like it was nothing, even though that is what I am. I am dirt. I was formed in the dirt. I am nothing. The only thing that I am is that new creation in Christ. And that's all I am now, is just a physical shell for the Holy Spirit. And now, since I believe and hope that y'all are too, you know, now we just need to produce and to give out what God has given us. And I don't know where that would take us, whether, you know, he's calling someone else doing the same thing. And well, because I get like that sometimes, like, I'm not going to raise my hand unless somebody else raises their hand. So I'll be like, oh, you raising me? Okay, yeah, I'll be number two. You know, so that's how I am sometimes. Like, you know, I'm not going to go share the gospel unless one of you guys go share it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to speak unless somebody else speaks, you know. That's the type of way I am. So, you know, sometimes it's how God works it out to be, you know. Well, you know, maybe he's calling me to this, and I'm unsure, you know. He uses a confirmation where, you know, someone will be speaking about something. Like, when I'm like, well, you know, I want to quit doing drugs, and I want to quit drinking alcohol, and then I go to church, and that whole message is about completely turning your life around. You know, that's confirmation in itself for my own testimony right there. You know, that's confirmation. And I mean, I don't know if he's using any of our messages, Simeon's or Bud's or Sunday morning or Friday nights or Thursday night, you know. But, you know, seeing that grace and seeing that confirmation through Christ, you know, that just makes me want to just keep digging and keep scratching right on through. Keep, you know, reading in between lines, not just, you know, reading the page and, well, that's the end of the chapter. Okay, let's go home. You know, I want to, you know, see right, you know, I want to see right between the lines. You know, I want to get that magnifying glass out and just start digging right through it. So, I mean, I don't really know how I got off track with that, but I did, so. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, that the purpose, again, like Paul was talking about, is not the ministry. The purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yeah. So, what he accomplished through Jesus Christ was showing that love and showing that grace, which confirms what Paul was talking about this morning, that our purpose, because if Jesus came, I mean, Jesus didn't start the body up when he was on earth. That he didn't start up the church. You know, he came to show the grace and love. And that's what we're to do with the rest of the body, because we're not Jesus Christ. You know, we're not God. We can't do it, you know, single-handedly. You know, we can't just say, let there be light, and all the lights turn on, you know? We can't do that. So we need the whole body of Christ. But we, each individual, need to come together in the body of Christ to do that. So according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ, that just makes me think, you know, him saying that it is finished. I mean, he accomplished it in Jesus Christ. If you're Jewish and you don't believe that Jesus is a Jesus, you know, read what it says, you know. I mean, I don't really have to go in depth with that, because I don't think anyone here is Jewish and doesn't believe that Jesus the Messiah is Jesus the Messiah. But more confirmation. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. One of the Bibles that I was using put it in this term, in him, through faith in him. So our way into Christ is by that, through the gospel, through the grace, through a free gift, but we have to have faith to receive, to be in him. So in him, through faith, now actually in him. And for the other half, with boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. The other version I was using said freedom and confidence. We have now a freedom in Christ. We have a free will to do what we want, whether to be in Him or to not be in Him, to have that faith and to receive and to believe that. And even more, going on, a freedom to hide the treasure in the ground and to keep it to ourselves, or that freedom to reproduce that fruit and continue in the expansion of love and grace and not just the ministry. Verse 13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So like I was sharing earlier with the military, we have very weird ways to motivate you. So this is what got me in here, is do not lose heart at my tribulations. I'm sorry, but if I see one of you guys out in the street getting persecuted for sticking up for Christ, I'm going to get motivated. Some people might run in fear. Not saying it's any of you, I'm just saying some people might. But that's the weird way to get me motivated, is seeing, you know, like I was sharing, you know, I'm going to be the second one to raise my hand as long as somebody else does. You know, that's going to motivate me to act in that freedom and confidence and that boldness and that access with confidence through faith in Him. That is my motivation. You know, it doesn't necessarily motivate me that we have a free will to read the Bible. You know, I'm always saying to myself, I can't wait till the day that get rid of our right to read the Bible. You know, that was a book that our country wrote. That was the first book that we published in American English, was the Bible. You know, that was the first book to be copyrighted in this country. You know, that's the first book that's how they formed schools, was to be able to read and write, and they used the Bible to do that. And so I personally can't wait until they make it illegal. And I don't want to say that pridefully. I want to say that humbly, because I am very weak and very faithless in a free world like this, in a free system where we could, oh, you're a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, I read my Bible. Yeah, I go to church on Sunday. Oh, you're in that cave hiding out? You know, you trust your God so much that you're going to, you know, hide in the basement reading the Bible, having like little sheets of paper with like four half verses on it, and you're going to hold on to that and you're going to believe your God that much? Yes. That's what I'm aiming for, you know, because I don't have that much boldness and that much confidence and that much faith myself. I mean, I have faith, but not to that amount. But, you know, when things start getting real around here, when we start, you know, actually when the rubber meets the road and stop, you know, living on clouds here in America, you know, when stuff like that happens, that's going to motivate me. That's going to increase my boldness and my faith and my confidence in that situation. So again, that's just another weird way that I get motivated, you know. So be looking for me if you're in tribulation, because we're right there with you. But darn phone keeps pausing on me. I wrote on here, is our glory this, let me read the verse for first. So, we have that boldness and access with confidence through faith in Christ, verse 13. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So, our glory is our tribulations. Is our glory our tribulations? I think so. That was a question, if you guys didn't catch that. That's a question. Is our glory our tribulations? So I personally think that, you know, when we were in that tribulation, you know, that Holy Spirit, you know, it's either our flesh is going to rise up or the Holy Spirit's going to rise up. Or are we going to give glory like what Paul was sharing? Or actually, I read ahead to verse 17, you know, and John, you know, glorify the Son so that the Son can glorify you. The Son can only be glorified in that tribulation. You know, God wasn't glorified when he rode in on a donkey. God was glorified when he was sacrificed on the cross. When he was in that tribulation, that was our glory. That was, you know, that is something that we could celebrate. Not, oh yay, God rode in on a donkey. You know, no, God died on the cross. He made that way for us. So next verse, 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so from verse 14 on, he was praying. So how does he start his prayer off? By getting onto his knees. Now he's going to start praying for the Jews at this time and for us, whoever reads the Bible. You know, these prayers are for them and for us now. 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God gave us all names. And these are, that's who the prayer is for. Is for the whole earth. You know, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his Son. You know, this is an encompassing prayer for all the Gentiles. That he who would, or that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Again, it is not of our own works, it is of God completely. His glory, his riches, his grace, his strength, his everything. Everything that we need to be successful Christians, to be able to produce and to show forth our fruit, we got to draw that from him. And through his Spirit in the inner man, as 16 says, 17, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So Christ has to be in us. It's not that surfacey Christian that Paul was talking about that makes you into that Matthew 7. Oh, but God, didn't we this? God, didn't we this? No, I never knew you. Get away from me. So we need to have Christ dwell in our hearts through faith in him. So God needs to be, or we need to be in Christ through faith in him. You belong, are being rooted and grounded in love in God, in that story of grace. We need to be in that completely. We can't be half rooted here and half rooted there. We need to be completely rooted and grounded in him. Think about something grounded, like when you start hitting a stake into a ground for a tent, you know, that tent is now grounded. That, you know, no matter what wind blows, that tent ain't moving. That's how we need to be. You know, no matter what tribulations come our way, we need to be into God. We need to be rooted into him. In love. 18. In love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the height, and the depth, or the length, the height, and the depth of that love. To know that love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we may ask or think according to the power that works in us. It's not our own work, it is completely Christ. To him be glory in the church, in the body of Christ, in our hearts and in our flesh, by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So just to wrap up that end, you know, like I said, it was a prayer to God, or to all the Gentiles, that we may know him who is able to do exceedingly abundant. And I guess that'd be my challenge for you guys, is to know Christ who is able to do exceedingly more abundant, to dive into that, to search those cubits, to search his height and his depth and his width and his length, to search that, because, you know, not that we're going to find the end, but to just dig deeper into him and to stay rooted in him completely and to stay onto that path and not be half on and half off. That we may know that completely. That we may know, you know, we all say, oh yeah, he's eternal. But, you know, we gotta be able to at least say that with our hearts and not just our mouths. We need to, you know, be shown those dimensions to God. So, I kind of rushed through the end because kind of running short on time here. So, I hope that the Lord's word, that the Lord spoke to you directly. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our free will, Lord. And we thank you for you opening up our eyes to that, Lord. We thank you for that grace, Lord, that we may thank you for the ability to be able to understand your love even more, Lord, and in eternal light, Lord, that we are never going to have to stop knowing you. That, Lord, it will go on forever and ever, that we can just dig deeper and deeper and just fall more in love with you and to lie down in your grace and in your love, Lord, that it will be a pool overflowing, Lord, splashing up over our whole entire body, Lord, covering us with that promise, Lord, of salvation, Lord, that if we believe and receive, Lord, that we will one day share the rest of eternity with you, Lord, that even though we do die, Lord, we're not going to die completely, Lord, that we will live forever. And we are so thankful, Lord, for so many blessings, Lord, that you keep bringing them new to our doorstep every day, Lord, and for that free will to be able to pick it up, Lord, and to be able to just lie down in your grace and to just soak it in, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you did a nice rush. You could have split it in two, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't like things.
I mean, it was beautiful, man. I didn't want you to feel rushed. That's what I was saying. If you wanted to split to the other half next week. I mean, I've never heard a more beautiful grace message in that depth and detail. I think it was beautiful, man. Thank you. I was definitely blessed. I can't even really add to it. I'm be doing it justice. Thank you.
Bud?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, I really liked this chapter and how you like brought it forth. And I'm really big with analogies. So I really liked the idea of how you made it like the mission, you know, mission grace, and we're supposed to be motivated, driven to, you know, achieve that grace and be able to, by believing it, receiving it, and also, you know, letting it out and making it, you know, producing it, being able to show it. So yeah, all those analogies are really hitting me, and just trying to understand and partake of the concept of the mysteries that are within the book and within God, and you can't just scratch it with the lottery, you know, lottery ticket, you know, expecting to get something, you know, big by just scratching just a little bit, just getting in. Not too deep, not deep enough, and hoping to get something. If you do, it doesn't last long in this world, you know, trying to scratch and go with gambling and stuff like that. We have to dig within the mysteries, trying to find that big picture, and it's not always a walk in the park, but it's that mission, not mission impossible, but like that, where you're, the mission where it's, you know, you're driving in and stuff like that. So it was really awesome. It had me going. So it was good. I really liked it.
One thing I forgot to add, with the end, with being rooted in, is I like to you know, extort different Bible verses, because it kind of just creates a big spider web. That's one thing we did as, you know, growing up and going to VBS, even though I didn't believe, you know, seeing that cool little spider web of, you know, God here, and it's these verses that are just contracted right back to the that source of whatever, you know, forgiveness. You know, you could find forgiveness is verses between Genesis and Revelations everywhere. And so, like, I was sharing Philippians, one in Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And that's one thing I'm big on is thanksgiving. You know, I don't like to always say thanks in a prayer, because then I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Then we'll be.
Yeah, hit it out of the park, man. Grace. Getting something we, you know, we don't deserve, and we can't give people something we haven't received. And Jesus is the source of that. That's why he was able to give himself in grace in that full capacity. And unless we are getting it ourselves, we can't reproduce it and give it out. And that's verse Paul. I'm the least of this. I liked how you pointed out, you know, it wasn't like a false humility, you know, was kind of the word that was hitting in my heart, you know. I'm the least of these, and it was like how you're saying it could have came off like a false humility or a prideful sense, but he, you know, I think genuinely he knew in his heart how much he was truly forgiven because of the Christians he slaughtered in ignorance. And so, like, it's not that he was doing it in a place of debt, but in a state of gratitude and thankfulness of, wow, God, you opened my eyes to the blindness and my ignorance. Now I must. I have been given so much love and grace. You can only give out as much as you have received in. You know, and you can only receive as much in as you're able to see how filthy you are. So I think I find that, you know, the longer, you know, I would keep walking with him, the more I realize how much more I need his grace and his forgiveness to walk daily. You know, it's a struggle, especially with my background. And addictions, you know, this past week was tough, man. It's embarrassing to even, you know, state that, but it's truth, you know. And we're not called to walk in darkness, and I don't want to walk in the light. I want to be real and genuine with people. But there was a spiritual war going on in my mind Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Literally fighting with demons and wasn't able to, but I came through, you know, and that was just by God's grace. He gave me something that I didn't deserve, and that was relief from the torment, because that's exactly the state of mind that I was in. It was straight torment. God reminded me of the obsession that I would have lest he takes that off my mind and my heart. You know, so every day of, you know, being in sobriety is just a gift of God. And, you know, that's just his grace. Because without that, I'm a fiend underneath a bridge. And to be reminded of that, and now to not just be reminded of that, but to be overwhelmed with love and compassion to now pour that out into other people to say, hey, if God could love this mess, he could love you too. And not only that, you could lift the burden and bring people in your life to love you just, you know, as you are. And like he has with all my brothers and sisters in Christ, and a father in Christ, and a mother in Christ. And I said, you know, I love you guys so much. I'm thankful what God's doing through everyone. To me, I just wanted to share that.
Love you too, son.
Someone exhorted me to share that tonight, and so I'm just trying to be obedient and doing that. So maybe that helps someone. Maybe it just helps me to get in a deeper place of humility. Obviously, no one wants to acknowledge the fact that they are going through something, especially something as, you know, demonic as something like that. But yeah, I was going through some craving issues there, and God brought me through by His love, you know. And it was by grace. And I have a question there. It was like, what got you through? And I can honestly say it was the proper thing that got me through. And that's something that I needed to refocus my heart on. If my heart's drive is not Christ alone, to love Him because He first loved me, you know, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, when things on the outside fall apart or crash or burn, you know, even through that, my love for Christ and my perseverance will stay strong, you know. But if my life is, my hope and my rock is on things or relationships, when the winds and storms come, because they will come into your life, then you will be swept away. So it was God's grace to let me even experience that, to say, you know, you need to even go deeper with me in this love for me, because there was, you know, obviously different than my kids and all this was weighing in the realm there, and just coming to a state of clarity in my mind. God was like, if your focus was on me and your love was in a deeper and a richer place, those things you wouldn't even had to have been in the balance, though they were. You know, if you guys seeing what I'm saying? If my drive was so much because of God's grace and love towards me, like Richard was just drilling home right there, I wouldn't have to have a pros and cons and a list of things. It'd be like, no, Jesus rebuke you. God, Jesus died for me. I have eternal and a hope with Him forever and ever, and that's what's going to drive me. You know, get behind me, Satan, and not just my love for me, but my love for everybody even tonight, you know, and that I have to reproduce that I love people, you know, and this would have been demolished if I would have taken and eaten of the forbidden fruit, you know, the work and the progress that God is, you know, doing. I could have sit here like a hypocrite and been done taking over the, yeah. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Yeah, so then it was like God's love and grace towards me, but not only that, for you guys. And like Richard's saying, that's what has to be, not just His grace towards us, but the grace and being willing to give it out. Nice. Thanks for letting me share. I feel like I'm in an AA meeting.
Praise the Lord. Beautiful.
I think that's another good thing is grace. It's grace for us, for God to give us a word. I mean, even when they were writing it, they didn't have a Bible to look at. And they were writing the Bible.
Right.
You know, so they didn't have that to look at. For, you know, that even goes on with, you know, that they had so much more strength than us because they didn't have the Word of God to read. We're going to win in the end. Okay, guys, we're going to win. You know, they didn't have that like we didn't. That's our grace, you know, being able to read it and know the end result. And that right there motivates me. And helps me not lose hope and not to lose heart because I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how, you know, how badly I get beat up or tormented like I have in the past week or two, you know, that just like Simeon has, you know, going to drill and, you know, some of you guys know that us men did a fast from Sunday to Wednesday. I didn't even do it. Because I was in drill, and, you know, I was texting Matthias, and I was just going through some hard stuff, and probably saw some of my expressionlessness Sunday night, you know, when I came back. I was a totally different person because, you know, how bad I was getting beat up by we're going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, you see them really cheesy sport, you know, the football movies. Oh, man, we're down by like 42 points. We're never going to win. They win in the end. Everybody knows that. But in our circumstance, we literally are going to win the end result in the end. And that's grace for that mystery to be opened, you know, what's going to be the end result. God's the winner, you know. We're you know, his towel boy, we're his water boy, you know, type of thing, you know. But Jesus is a champ, amen, hallelujah.
Amen. Preach.
Everybody else got anything else? Mendy!
Mendy!
Hope you can hear me. Or Simeon. Or... So, I mean, I already prayed, so if anybody else got anything else.
We just soaked him. We just soaked.
Okay, that's good to know.
Mindy's been soaking.
Soaking into that couch.
On the only couch in the
Matthias and Jaden were soaked today.
Pretty sure my husband's soaked.
I think Maddie's a little worse.
Yeah.
His head was above it.
Yeah. He stood up 90% of it. Jaden was hunkering down.
I didn't get that one.
Jaden.
Where'd you come from?
Better late than never, bro.
Pretty deep to make us slow down pretty fast. I never hit the brakes going back. But we slowed down. Well, I let off the gas because I couldn't see, but... Oh, we do have worship music. Thank you to Matthias and Simeon.
Oh, yes!
I liked it. It was more enjoyable in person. I gotta find the Rob Zombie version of worship.
The Rob Zombie.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, there you go.
So thank you for worshiping this afternoon.
Yeah, I didn't want you to rush at the end though, man. I feel bad. That's why I said split in two.
I read the word split it in two, but in my mind I read hurry up, so
I knew exactly what it said just by